Acts chapter 8. Starting in verse 26, God's word says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except a man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for this privilege, this honor to be before your people. Lord, I am fully relying on you, for I know that I'm unworthy and unable, dear Lord, to do what needs to be done. But Lord, I'm just making myself a vessel for my master's use. Lord, I pray by interpretation, dear Lord, that we learn what you'd have us to learn tonight. And by application, we live it in our lives daily. Lord, deal with us now and let everything said and done during this time be for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I was in eighth grade, I was a big fan of Duke University. And I know I lose all the Carolina fans right now, but I'll hopefully pick you back up in a second. But I was a big fanatic of Duke University, the basketball team. 1991 was their first championship year, but I remember, and I was in eighth grade in 1992, and there's a certain game that really I think about over and over again. Every time the Final Four comes up, March Madness, you'll see replays of this particular play. But they were playing in the Elite Eight against Kentucky Wildcats. And it got where they were going back and forth the whole game. And I think the score was tied right there at the end, making it forced to go into overtime. Well, it looked like Kentucky was about to win the game, and, you know, the Duke defending their national championship was over with. I mean, they would have to stop then. But there was a play that was designed for a particular point in time, and that play was for then. Grant Hill, on the far end of the court, with only 2.1 seconds left, threw the ball into Christian Laettner, which was at the half court, the foul line at the other end. And he fakes right, dribbles once, and turns around and swishes the ball in with time expiring. And Duke wins the game, the Elite Eight, and goes on to win the championship that year by 1 point. But I bared witness to that. And because I was involved and because I understood who was out there playing and the excitement of it, I was excited. I bared witness to an event sports-wise that excited me. Well, later on, shortly after that game and all the next day, the next week, and even to this point, I'm still recollecting a little bit of that feeling I had. I was bearing witness of something I witnessed years ago, something that excited me. The word witness is a person who sees an event as a noun. As a verb, it means to give or serve as evidence of testifying to. Why was Philip in our text a good witness? Because he walked close to God. Philip, what a wonderful example of a witness. We look in our text here. What does the Bible say? So who was Philip? Who was Philip? We often get into a study of God's Word, and there's a lot of things that brings clarity and when we study it a little bit more in depth. Philip himself in Acts 21:8, I'll read it for time's sake. It says, "In the next day, we that were with Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea." Now, in that same chapter we're looking at right now in verse 40, it says, "And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." The verse goes on in Acts 21:8. It says, "And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven." Now, who was these seven? Chapter 6, verse 3 clarifies that for us. In verse 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Skip verse 4, and verse 5 says this, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip." So the Bible tells us that this Philip that we're talking about right here in the text in chapter 8, Philip was a deacon. The Greek word, from the meaning of the Greek, is it means a waiter, a servant. Now, I know you say waiter, and you say, hold up a minute. I've been to a lot of places, and waiters, and they're aggravating. But no, I'm talking about giving more meaning. I mean a servant, a slave unto the Lord. These people gave up whatever they were doing to serve. Do you understand? We define things different nowadays. When we go out, sometimes, and I'm a big stickler for customer service, I'd rather have bad food that a server is able to, you know, communicate with me and make things right than I would rather have bad service. It leaves a terrible taste in my mouth. But these guys were servants unto the Lord. They were slaves unto the Lord. God was their master, and they served the people in the ministry. It also says that he was an evangelist. This means a bearer of good tidings. The word evangelist is used three times in our translation in our Bible. The first time it's in 2 Timothy 4:5, and Paul's telling a young Timothy to watch out for all things. Also endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. We also see this in Ephesians 4:11. Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists. This was for the edifying of the saints. This is something important to take note of. The word evangelist is also used in our text, or in Acts 21, as a title of what Philip was. The word here denotes a preacher of the gospel. It's the good news. It also alludes to the fact of sharing the gospel so souls can be saved. Lost souls can't be saved if saved souls don't speak. They can't engage in hearing what we neglect to share. His service was strong because his walk was well. Plus, earlier in this chapter, chapter 8 in Acts, we see that the Bible tells us that Philip was in Samaria preaching the gospel and seeing great things happen. Now, this is a big deal because the Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, it says, "Go there, go out and be a witness unto Jerusalem, unto Judea, unto Samaria." Samaria is the last stop before we get into the other parts of the world, you see. The book of Luke in chapter 9, 51 through 55, James and John is telling Jesus to call down fire on the Samaritans. The Jews didn't necessarily like the Samaritans, you see. John 4:9, when Jesus is at the well of Jacob and talking to the Samaritan woman, she's like, "Why would a Jewish man talk to me, a woman of Samaria?" You understand, this wasn't a typical mission field. It would take some work, some effort to accomplish what Philip was doing there. Acts 8:14, also alludes to the fact that the apostles wanted to check up on this ministry. They wanted to make sure it was secure, it was sound. So they went there and prayed so the Holy Spirit could come upon the believers. Philip was preaching Christ. He was doing miracles, wonderful things. Can you imagine going to a field that was hard to reach? But see, by the grace of God and God's power, Philip was doing that. But all of a sudden, the Lord called him and he had to go. See, when we walk with God and understand it's not about us, it's about the God we serve, it kind of puts things in a better perspective. We understand that our walk must be strong with God to be able to accomplish where He would send us. I know that it wasn't easy for Pastor Parrish to start this church here, but by the grace of God and the calling on his life, he has seen, bared witness to great things. You being here tonight is a witness of the church growing and people wanting to serve God. It's a great thing. It's hard for a man to be called away when things are just getting right and have to go somewhere else. But he was able to do so because of his walk. Now, our walk is important. We need to go with God every day, and we need to walk with God daily. And the only way we can accomplish that is being mindful of it. Now, if I had to say, go over there to the other side where Pastor sits, and I'm over here and Pastor Sam usually sits, and this is the course of my day. I have to get there. Now, sometimes in the morning we wake up, and hopefully we don't go right to our iPhones and check the weather and all that stuff, but we thank God because His blessings are new each and every morning, the Bible says. And we may spend time with God, thanking Him for the day, praying for the day ahead to protect us as we leave and go out in our day as we start. Maybe do a devotion or something. But through the course of that day, we've woke up and we were saying, Lord, I'm walking with you. I'm doing fine. And all of a sudden, we get sidetracked. And what is happening? God is continuously walking throughout the day to get us to that point. We've started our day with Him. But then we see ourselves getting far behind, so we run up just in time to get to the end of the day where right before we lay our heads at night, we say, Lord, thank you for getting me through today. Man, what a stressful day, huh? All the stuff I had to do, right? Lord, thank you for helping me get through today. But let me ask you during that time frame between the end of the day and the morning of the day, the opportunities that were left behind because we were in too much of a hurry or sitting back letting God walk without us. I think of the child that's in the grocery store or the apartment store that is walking with their mother hand in hand or their father, and all of a sudden something gets their attention. And they start to just wander away. Or maybe they see something ahead of them and they let go of their mother's hand and run forward just to look back to not see their mom or father in their presence. The child gets scared. They feel like something's wrong, like something's missing. And that is exactly what happens to us as Christians when we don't feel God's presence with us. God's walking through the day. What are we doing? Are we sitting? Because we have to get there. We have to move. Or are we running, leaning upon our own understanding? C.S. Lewis said that we have not a soul, but instead we are a soul. We have a body. We have to understand that our soul will carry for eternity. These physical bodies, they don't last that long. It is just as vital to understand our walk with God and keep our souls and our spirits right with Him. Lord, I pray that I may not walk too far behind you, for your presence will be too far away. And I pray that I may not walk too far ahead of you, for it's your guidance that leads my way. But Lord, I pray that I may walk with you, for it's your presence and your guidance I need day to day. If we want to feel our Lord's presence, James 4:8 tells us to draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto us. And if you want to feel His direction, Proverbs 3:6 tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When I think of walking with God, I think of Peter walking on the water when Jesus was out there in the midst of the water, and Peter said, "Can I come out and meet you, Jesus?" Oh, you had to love Peter's enthusiasm. "Yeah, come on, Peter." And Peter gets out of that boat, and he's got his eyes on Jesus. He's walking right to him. And then the Bible says a boisterous wind comes up, and that's just enough to get his attention to, he starts to sink. And this is one thing I've learned about the Bible, that when Jesus does his work, it's immediately. It happens right then. And when Peter called out to save him, Jesus was right there to give him a helping hand. This wasn't a question of nothing else but his faithfulness. See, when Peter got scared of the wind, it rocked his faith. His eyes wasn't on Jesus no more. He was thinking he was in trouble. And it's a must that we keep our faith strong with God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everything we need to understand about walking and having our faith with God so we walk with him daily is in this book. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You understand, we got to understand that God's way is the way. When we walk with God, when we have an understanding of what he wants us to do, the pace he wants us to do, then we're walking with God. Philip's close walk with God helped him to be a witness that God wanted him to be. So let's look at Philip's witness to the Lord. The word witness is someone by explanation or demonstration gives audible or visible evidence of what he has seen, heard, or experienced without being deterred by the consequences of his action. My friends, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are a witness for Christ. There are three main functions that I learned in my study, and three main witnesses that we use today in terms of the criminal court system. There's an eyewitness, which is one who can testify because of a personal account. We can do that when we experience having our lives changed forever, being saved by Jesus Christ. That's our personal testimony. But just because it's personal don't mean we're supposed to keep it to ourselves, right, Billy? We're supposed to share it. And that's what we're supposed to do. A character witness is one that can testify on a personal knowledge of one's character. These are often people that come in that have good character to themselves. If I was on trial, I would hope that it would be somebody that meant something to the community, like pastor or somebody, and not somebody that I may knew in a long time ago that's when I wasn't walking like I was supposed to do. You understand? Our witness is also locked in by the way we act. When we speak to people, that's one thing, but when they see the way we act, that changes minds. An expert witness is one of the last ones that's one of the most popular. This is a professional or expert in the certain fields pertaining to that case. Wouldn't it be encouraging to be an expert witness on this? To know Christ so good, know his word so good that when we shared it with people, God's word just took hold of them. So in the end of verse 27 through verse 35, we see that Philip witnessing to Christ of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian. 27 tells us the Ethiopian's job title was treasurer for the queen, which meant that he had both power and influence over the people of Ethiopia. We see in verse 28 in his chariot reading Isaiah 53, and in verse 29, the Spirit telling Philip to go and join himself to the Ethiopian's chariot. And as we see earlier in our text, that when God said, go, Philip moved. And in verse 30, the verse said, he ran. Here's a question for you. When the Spirit of God tells you to move, do you do it? When the Spirit of God tells you to move, do you do it with enthusiasm? Let me tell you something, my friend. When you go to witness to somebody, if you come up to them in a bad disposition, if you come up to them and say, well, let me tell you about Jesus. What good is that possibly going to do? Now, God's word holds value on its own. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you, when somebody's looking at you, when you're telling somebody the good news, the glad tidings that Christ came and died for us, died and 3 days again he arose, and he's alive and well in heaven today preparing a place for us. That's good news. That's great, the good glad tidings that we need to be able to communicate well with others. I remember Dr. Childs, I had the privilege of having him. Some of you may know him. I know you guys know him and pastor. Dr. Childs, I had him for two systematic theology classes and one dispensational class. And I learned a lot of different stuff there. But there's one thing he would do on occasion that tied everything that I'm doing and saying to you right now together for me. He would get up there, and he's probably, I don't know, he's 90-something. He's on up there. He's probably 90-something pounds soaking wet. But he would get up there and grab the side of somebody's desk, and he'd go, "Yes!" as high as he could, probably all 2 inches. And he'd wipe his forehead, and he'd turn around, and he said, "Excuse me, but I got saved over 50 years ago and ain't never quite got over it." And to me, that's what excited me. That's what said, this is why I'm learning what I'm learning, to have a better understanding of all that God done for me so I can share it with others. So that can have that same experience, that same joy, that same at 90-some years old saying, "Yes, I got saved over 50 years ago and never quite got over it." So often we meet someone while out and about doing our normal daily routine, and we can talk to them about anything, but do we ever talk to them about Jesus? It's on occasion that we go out and we probably see 10 to 20 people throughout our day, and we can know everything about them, about who their family is, the teams they like, the cars they drive, and never know if they're saved or not. Look at it this way, my friend. Jesus, when we're saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is in us. And if I would go out with somebody and had Caleb with me and I would talk to Haley and say, "Haley, how you doing?" and never had reference to Caleb, how rude is that? To understand that we got Jesus with us, wanting to talk, wanting to save souls, and we're holding it in. Because we might be concerned about what people will say or how people react to the gospel. But like Pastor said not too long ago in a sermon, it said, we're just the sign holders. We're just supposed to share the gospel. That's all we're supposed to do. God does the other work. And that takes the stress off of you and me, my friends. Just to share the wonderful news. I heard the gospel is a lot like this. It's just one starving man finding bread, telling another starving man how to get it. We know from verse 27 that he had great authority. And it is recorded in history during this time that Ethiopia, as we know it, during that time frame, had a lot of people saved. Now, biblically, it's not stated, but historically, it is. But I say all this to say that, this right here, you can count the apples on the tree, but who can count the apples in the seed is an old Russian proverb. I don't know if any of you may know this, but there's a fellow of the name of Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was a devoted Sunday school teacher who took great pride in trying to reach his young Sunday school class of young boys. To the fact that he had, in particular, wanted to reach this one young fella. And when stocking shelves on one Saturday afternoon, he went to share the gospel with a man named Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody, as we know, became a great evangelist, preacher, missionary, which later trained a great evangelist and shared the gospel with him of Wilbur Campbell. This man, at one day, was heard by a fellow named Billy Sunday. And both of them became evangelists together, and sharing the gospel one day came against a fellow of the name of Mordecai Ham. Mordecai learned to be an evangelist just under Billy Sunday, and one day was able to share the gospel to a fellow that heard it of the name Billy Graham. We have, I know, at least one member in our congregation that was saved up under a Billy Graham crusade. Do you understand the impact of when we take time to witness? We never know where it's going to lead, is what I'm saying. You can count the apples on the tree, but only God knows how many apples are in a single seed. Is that important to you today, to understand just a moment in time sharing the gospel with somebody can change your life and change others' lives? Here in verse 35 is a proof text. Jesus can be found in the Old Testament. And Jesus is found all through the Bible. I looked at it the other day, Genesis 1:1, the first word in there is in. To Revelation 22:21, the last word in it is right before amen is all. And Jesus is in and he's in all of it. The word of God can revive us. It can make us to be a better witness. It can save us. It's got the power to save us. Verse 35 reads that Philip preached unto him Jesus. See, it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. Jesus is the one that changes people's lives. He's the one that can save people. So Philip looked, we looked at Philip's walk with our Lord and his witness for our Lord. Thirdly and finally, as we wrap up, let's look at the Ethiopians' worship to our Lord. So why do we witness? We understand that we can be better witnesses for God if we are walking close to God. But why do we witness? Because what the Ethiopian tells Philip in verse 37, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Why do we witness? So others can worship and worship correctly. Let's first look at the fact that we've seen in verse 27 of this chapter that we read in chapter 8 that the eunuch went to Jerusalem to worship. But he cannot truly worship until he was preached Jesus by Philip. You know, I think of the woman at the well who came and talked to Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, do you never want to thirst again? And the woman of Samaria said, you know, you don't have nothing to draw the water with, you know, all these things. But let me tell you this. It wasn't about the bucket. It wasn't about the well. It was about the water. Jesus is the living water. He's the only one. There's not by no other name that no one can be saved but the name of Jesus. It was important that Philip pointed this out to the eunuch. We live in a society today that people are constantly worshiping on their own understanding of who God is. And what is that? That is image worshiping. It's not God Himself, but it's a concept of who they want God to be. They come into church on Sundays, and usually it's just Sundays because they don't have time no other time. And they play music that's pleasing to themselves. They have preaching that rarely mentions Bible verses because it's too offensive. It may change my life, but I feel good because I've been at church. And people do this day after day, week after week, right outside the walls of this church. I've learned recently that when I come and if I have an opportunity to witness to somebody that I no longer just start off with, do you have a church? Now that's good, and I have a church that I love. Meet the pastor. He's a great guy. Right? But I understand that's not the line. That's not the bottom line. The bottom line is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if so, we can go from there. It's about Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch could worship because he knew Jesus. So he could worship because the Lord led Philip to witness to him. And Philip was sensitive to the spirit within him to be able to be conscious of the soul around him. In eighth grade, I bared witness to a most excellent event. The Elite Eight, 1992, Grand Hill to Christian Leitner. One dribble, fake, I'm sure you can do it. Swish, we win the game. But 7 years earlier, I laid witness to a more excellent event. I was sitting in a pew just like that and grabbing hold, not wanting to let go, not wanting to let Jesus get a hold of me. But I realized the only way I was going to be saved, the only way I was going to have salvation was to let go and let Jesus do what he said he was going to do. The Bible says that he died for me, that he was hung on a cross for me, that I may have eternal life. And he wants that for you. He wants that for everybody. Who are we to have this knowledge and not share it with the rest of the world? We have the best gift ever given to us. An understanding that when we die, that we're not truly dead. That our home is in heaven with our Lord, our Master, who's there right now, as Pastor said this morning, speaking on our behalf. We are all sinners going straight to hell. I couldn't save myself. There's nobody I knew but Jesus that could save me. He was that perfect sacrifice. He loved me. He loves you. He gave himself for us so we can have a relationship with God our Father. And the Bible says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh through the Father but by him. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you allow us to examine our hearts right now, Lord, to understand the importance of our walk with thee. That, Lord, that the walk that we have with you should be daily. Help us to be mindful, dear Lord, to it's not just a sitting around, or it's not a running, it's not a sprint, but it is an intimate walk with you. Lord, I pray that based on our walk with you, dear Lord, that we have an understanding to be mindful, to be a witness, Lord, to receive the wonderful gift that we got, dear Lord, in salvation, dear Lord, that we share it with others, that others know this wonderful gift so they too may be saved. Lord, let this be a priority in our lives so we can do this so people can worship correctly, without being mindless of the way they come together to worship, Lord, but they truly worship you, Lord. The word worship in the original Greek is significant to a dog licking the master's hand. Dear Lord, allow us to be on that intimate level, dear Lord, understanding that you love us, Lord, and that we are just so moved by your love for us. Lord, I just pray now that you speak to hearts, dear Lord, and allow us to take what we've learned tonight, dear Lord, and do something about it. And Lord, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.